As indicated on the syllabus, we're doing three different things today. Sounds like it's going to take a long time, but it actually doesn't take all that long, even though it's three separate things. One of those is PCR, using the owl DNA, and that was one of your pre-labs. And even though that's the third one in terms of the order given in the table of contents and the manual, that's the one I want you to start with. I'll talk more about that in a second. The other one is DNA replication. By the way, the PCR one is page 141. DNA replication is 132 through 134. And that's pretty straightforward. You're using the puzzles again, but for a different reason this time. And then the third is the cell cycle, which is page 135. Don't do that until I get the scopes set up properly. It's just a matter of looking at the scopes. And by the way, you might as well just cross out that table and the instructions on that page. Really, all I want you to do when you get to the cell cycle, when I tell you the scopes are ready, is to try to guess for each scope, 1 through 5, which phase in the cell cycle is indicated by the one cell. Now, these are onion root tips. We use root tips because that's the most actively growing part of the plant, and therefore it's most likely in that place on the plant to find cells that are somewhere near cell division or in cell division. Anyway, each one of them is hundreds of cells when you look at it. But ignore all the cells except the one cell that I have the crosshairs on. And try to guess by looking at it what part of the cell cycle it is in. Okay, for each of 1 through 5. I haven't chosen the cells yet, but I will. That's pretty straightforward. And the puzzle part is pretty straightforward, and hopefully will be reviewed because we've already gone through this in lecture pretty much. But it's good to actually visualize it with the puzzles and talk it out. The one that really is any new information is the PCR, which I said is the one I want you to start with. PCR is an acronym that stands for polymerase chain reaction. And we've already learned about polymerase as an important enzyme in DNA replication, right? Well, PCR is a DNA replication technique. It can be used for any reason, any situation in which you have some DNA already, some sample, you just want more of it because you need more to conduct whatever tests or for whatever reason. It got famous. Well, you guys don't remember the O.J. Simpson trial, but that's when it really got famous for its forensic use. That's just one reason why you would use PCR. But forensics is a good example. Sometimes you have plenty of DNA available at a crime scene, but other times not. You might have just barely any. And you'll need a lot more if you want to conduct multiple different tests on that sample. Well, the nice thing about DNA is that it serves as a template for how to make copies of itself, right, in nature. And the polymerase chain reaction was developed as a technique to mimic what the cell does naturally inside the cell, what we studied, which is DNA replication. The big difference is that one cell goes through DNA replication one time, right, in the S phase. And so it starts with its own DNA, it ends up with two identical copies of that DNA. That's one cycle. PCR uses the same chemicals as a cell does to do the same thing, basically, But instead of doing it in a cell, it does it in test tubes. And importantly, it doesn't do it just once. You can do it as many times as you want. And when it was invented, it was done by hand in test tubes. Took a long time to actually get right. Now it has been so refined that a little machine like this called a thermal cycler is able to fully automate the process. You just have to load it with tubes and wait a couple hours. But you can set a thermal cycler to go through as many cycles as you want. Typically we use 40 cycles, but you can set it for any number. But appreciate the fact that every time it goes through a cycle, it doubles the amount of DNA, right? Goes from 1 to 2, and then 2 to 4, and then to 8. So in other words, if you set it for 40 cycles, however much DNA you have originally, you have 2 to the 40th power times as much when it's done. And that's a big number. That's how you can have as much DNA as you want, really, to use for whatever purposes. And it's all identical to the DNA you started with. So it's a highly useful and versatile, highly useful and versatile technique. Well, this technique is used to start this owl DNA experiment. So all you're doing today is setting it up. You won't see any results until next week, but you want to be careful in setting it up so that you have as high a chance as possible of actually seeing something as results next time. And I want you to start with that, get it out of the way, although you might even have to wait on me a little bit, because I have to make up some solution for you. It won't take me long, though. Anyway, if you go to 141, I want you to follow this to the letter, almost. I'm going to give you some exceptions to what I want you to do slightly differently. If you look at step 6, it says to use a microcentrifuge, which are these centrifuges sitting here, with a fitting designed to hold your little tiny PCR tubes. By the way, before I forget, don't touch those with your bare hands. So once I'm done talking, glove up before you start this page 141. Anyway, a centrifuge is used for separation, right? It's a separation technique, centrifugation. And that's really not what these instructions are telling you to do. What it was telling you to do is spin it really just for a couple seconds. Not to separate the contents of the solution, but simply to get the liquid to the bottom of the tube in case there's some drips on the side walls. Well, don't even bother doing that. Just make sure after you'll have everything in the tube, when you get to that step, make sure that the lid is on tightly, and just tap it a few times on the desk to get it down there. That'll do a good enough job. So cross that one out, but just remember to tap it in place. Now, you need to properly use these micropipetters, so if you have any questions about how you did that before and how to set it, make sure you tell me. But you're setting them for, looks like 5 microliters down in step 4. The owl DNA, by the way, which you're picking 2 samples from, is in this little blue, more or less, ice chest. So I'll set this out over here by the sink. But when you open it up, it has 20 tubes in it, labeled 1 through 20. Each one is DNA from a different owl. And you are supposed to pick 2. Just randomly choose 2 numbers and pick up those tubes to get your samples from. Now, don't keep those tubes. Just keep them long enough to get your samples and then put them back in. But they're frozen now. and probably will be by the time you take them out here. So just make sure before you start trying to pipette from them that you hold them in your fingers for a couple minutes to make sure it's liquid, not a solid chunk you're trying to pipette from. Anyway, put them back, put the lids back on and put them back in there, and then I can refreeze them for the next group. But just write down which two you're doing, which two numbers, 1 through 20, that you're doing. Now, these PCR tubes, which are in your little racks, they should, if they're connected together, by the way, once you have gloves on, you should break them apart. Don't touch them. But appreciate how small they are. They're not easy to put very much labeling on. So you need to basically make yourself a little notes saying what is in each of the tubes you're preparing, where you can write it out on paper, but then come up with some sort of symbol that you can use that you can write on the tube that really means what you're saying on paper, so you can keep track of it next week. You see what I'm saying there? Okay, that's part of it. Then it's important to make sure you place them correctly. And here's another thing that differs from 141, page 141. It tells you in 7 to cap your PCR tubes and place them in the PCR machine. The PCR machine is the thermal cycler, that's the real name, like I said. But don't do that either. I'll put them in the machine once they're all ready. You need to instead put them in this grid, the one that's marked T. Hoffman Wednesday. But the thermal cycler itself has an identical grid in here. And so you need to put them wherever you want that's an open space. This grid on this paper corresponds to the spacing. And as long as someone else hasn't already filled in that space, you can put it anywhere you want. But write down your code or whatever initials so you can recognize it next week when you look at this paper, because this paper will tell you where your tube is specifically. Okay? But make sure when you write it down first, choose a square, write it down, but then make sure you put that particular tube, and you have multiple tubes each, that particular tube goes in exactly the right place corresponding to this paper. That all clear? That way they won't get lost or mixed up. But I'll load them. Other than that, it's pretty straightforward. You just come up to me when you're ready with your tubes, when you have them labeled. They're otherwise empty, but you label them. You bring them up to me, and after I make this stuff, which won't only take a couple minutes, I will deliver 20 microliters of the solution I'm making into it. Now, don't put your DNA in first. If you follow the instructions, you're bringing me up an empty tube, labeled but empty. And I say that because not so much because it messes the experiment up, but you want me to put that in first because since I'm doing exactly the same thing to everyone, I can just use one tip over and over. All right? So that's it. Go ahead and prepare the tubes.